Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're here and hope that we've got something for you that's maybe insightful, wise, or a little bit humorous. So that's what we're here for. Becky Brown is joining me in the studio.
If we can't be wise, we'll be humorous.
Hello? Yeah. Yes, exactly, Jill.
Dr. Jill Hubbard is here, and Hi. We have you. So we're glad you're with us.
Sorry.
And
if you it wasn't my turn.
No, it wasn't. And if you're on Facebook Live, you could see us there, I think.
Yes.
And if not now, in a
minute. And hello to our Facebook Live family.
Yes, Facebook Live family. Love you being there. Anyway, we're really glad that you're with us. And as many of you know, this is the new year.
It is.
September 1st, for me, it's more of a new year transition than January 1st. So I just want to encourage you. Wouldn't it be great to say, I stopped doing that on September 1st? Or I started doing that. Or I reduced doing that a little bit. You know, those kinds of things. I love having dates that you can nail things to. And so this would be a great day to do something that you know you've needed to do, but you just kind of put it off.
It's also a great date because we've been real confused about what day it is. Okay?
Yeah.
Like for the last 6 months,
that's
nobody's
true.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
The date. So for you who are confused, September 1 is a new year for you.
Yeah.
And right. And it's like a dry run because if you mess up, then you've got January 1. Right?
That's right.
Days do run
yourself.
Together.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody, it's so boring, you know, because like we're in so much, the weather, it's just room temperature every day. So it's just kind of hard to keep track. But anyway, I'm preaching this Saturday and Sunday, northviewchurch.us. Would love for you to join me. And this is Eastern Time Zone. On Saturday, it is 5 p.m. And on Sunday, 9 and 11. I was in Pittsburgh this weekend. Solomon and I went there and spoke five times. We did an Every Man's Battle workshop. Had about 200 guys come for that. And it was so exciting. And they use all the life recovery materials. And it's so refreshing to see a church where it's safe to talk about the real stuff in your life. And if you don't have a church like that, you could create one.
Right.
And to that end, you could join us for the Life Recovery Conference, which is going to be October the 3rd. Here's the title, 12 Steps to Happier Life Recovery Conference. Now, who doesn't want to be happier? Sick
True.
People. So either you want to be happier or you need it even worse than the people that want to be happier. So that it's just going to be a great, great time. Chris Williams, Becky, who else is going to be?
Anna. Misty.
Yeah, Misty. All of us are going to be doing this thing. And if you've never really gotten into 12 steps, this is a great start for you because we really nail all the biblical stuff. You know, that's what we're here for. That's the difference.
So, I think the other part of the recovery conference that I love so much is that there are folks that join us who are working their recovery and they're learning about how this will translate into their regular everyday relationships so that the recovery isn't just relegated to their group time or, you know, just working the steps, but they literally are changing the lives of those around them and their churches because that's where we want the change to continue.
What did you say integrating it into, or what did you say?
It can be integrated. They take, I don't know, what did I say, Jill?
I don't know.
But I would encourage
you. Integrating it into your church.
If you don't know about recovery, you probably need to attend. And it is going to be online. Mm-hmm. You can just, it's not like a 12-hour deal. It's, you know, most of the day. And you're going to hear some great talks.
Hearing my wife talk and watching her talk is worth the trip right
there. That's right.
So, I mean, she's out there helping women all the time. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number to join us right here. 1-800-229-3000. I'm glad you're with us for New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, see?
We are back. And Becky didn't even
sorry.
Know it. She's laughing out loud. We have a good time during the break here. We don't drink or anything like that, but we do have a good, good time. So glad you're with us here, right here. Very happy about that. We're going to go to Jay from Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Jay has, by the way, he's called us at this number. I'm just stalling to get the person who's the screener to let Jay be on the... Okay, it's 1-800-229-3000. Jay, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I've been on before, but I just wanted to know. I was disobedient in marrying this man. He is a Christian, but he's just not the person for me because... He's just not. He had too much baggage being in prison for 28 years. He was acquitted 3 times for part of what he did. But I wanted to know, would I go to hell because I asked the Lord to forgive me for marrying him.
Mm-hmm.
Would I go to hell because of that?
Well, I am so glad you asked this, Jay, because let's just talk about how we go to hell. When I was doing this Life Recovery Conference, somebody raised their hand and said, if you don't repent of this, you're going to go to hell. And so I said, you know, if you think that as a believer who has accepted Christ, if you believe that you go to hell for any sin that you haven't repented of, let's say you're driving down the road. And somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you yell something really mean at them, full of anger, maybe a cuss word, and then you get hit by a truck and killed. Now, do you go to hell because you didn't have time to repent and ask for forgiveness? No. So here's the thing, Jay. We go to hell when we don't accept Christ's penalty for the sins that we either openly and volitionally commit, or we commit them because we don't do something. So let me ask you this. Do you believe Jesus Christ lived on the face of the earth as a historical figure, actually came here and lived on earth? Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
do you
yes.
believe that he died on the cross? Do you believe he died on the cross?
Yes.
Okay. And you believe he rose from the grave, right?
Oh, yes.
And you believe that when he died, he paid the price for your sin. Is that right?
Yeah.
As far as I know, he died before you ever committed a sin. He was dying for this sin 2,000 years ago. Now, you're a believer. Why would you think that this disobedient marriage would cause you to go to hell?
Because I just didn't obey, and I'm suffering. We divorced, and then we just remarried again, and
Jay,
doing the same thing.
Jay,
yes.
I just went through a big ordeal to let you know that it's not about committing a sin, it's about accepting Christ's forgiveness. And then you
well,
said
I
you did
forgiveness, but
okay.
I have to pay the consequence.
Sure.
Well, that's different. There are consequences to sin. One of my favorite quotes from an Agatha Christie novel, The Moving Finger, one of the characters says, God doesn't have to punish us.
Mm-hmm.
We're so busy punishing ourselves. Mm-hmm. I just think that's a great quote. So, Jay, you're having consequences from it. But one of the consequences of a believer sinning, and it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One of the things that we can be assured of is that that one sin isn't going to send us to hell.
So
right.
The
can you
Well, so here's the thing, though, Jay. You have to separate the two things, because you're saying that you are afraid you're going to go to hell because you disobeyed, which could be a great excuse for not working on the relationship, which obviously you guys were married before you went back. So there's some other work that has to be done that's separate from your salvation that doesn't have really anything to do with that. And you might be feeling the consequences of remarrying someone who you divorced previously, but that's a whole different subject than your salvation.
Yeah. So, let me ask you, we remarried each other.
Right.
Okay, but it doesn't matter what you're going to tell me you did. If you accept Christ, if you repent and you ask for forgiveness, and then you live that out, then you're not going to go to hell. Now, let me ask you this. Which would be worse? Marrying someone that you weren't supposed to marry, or telling three different people, I never knew Jesus, and you were like his right-hand man. Peter denied Christ three times. Now, did Jesus send him to hell? Did he take away the calling that he had on being the head of the church? No, he still had a plan. Yeah, he forgave. So he forgave you. Jay, I'm glad you called. Let me send you a copy of Toxic Faith, because I think it's going to clarify this. Anybody else, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Jill, you had a thought?
So really, yeah, Jay, your crime is being unwise. And so you repent and you ask God for forgiveness, and then you need to do your part to become wise. And that means maybe you get involved in some counseling. You have some wise counsel around you, just like you're calling us, so that you don't keep making the same mistakes, and so that you can understand where your blinders are, so that you can really live a more fulfilling Christian life instead of suffering so much.
All right. Glad you called.
Becky? I always think about that quote that you say, the same brain that gets you into the mess isn't going to be the same one that gets you out. And I think sometimes we need other brains involved in the process.
We do. So we sure do. I sure do. And that's why I go see a therapist to help me therapize my life.
Therapists are good people.
They can be. All right, 5 o'clock today, Eastern Time, I'm going to be doing the 7 Keys to Spiritual Renewal and Transformation. 5 o'clock on Facebook Live. The title of that program is Going Deeper. And don't forget, Thursdays, 11 a.m. Eastern, I do the new television show, Life Recovery Today. And I'm really having a lot of fun doing that, and I hope you'll join me for that. Let's go back to the phones, and let's talk with Kay. Kay's calling from Lakeland. She listens on the New Life app, and anybody else could. Every time I hear somebody say, well, I used to listen to you on radio, but I'm not in the car anymore. Well, you've got a phone.
That's right.
You can download the app, and you can hear the program or any program at any time, and I hope you'll do that. Kay, how are you? What's going on?
I'm okay, thanks. My husband and I need some more brain help from you guys.
Awesome.
We have our adult daughter and son-in-law, and they are raising our just-turned 6-year-old granddaughter, who for the past year and a half, they've been really encouraging her to become a boy. So we just got a text recently that said we are to now call this child by a boy's name and to use masculine pronouns, and that this is not up for debate. And if we are to see her, we have to agree to these terms. And because of COVID, we haven't seen them. We live in a different state.
Why are they doing this?
My opinion that they're doing this is because it's the next big cause. It's the next big thing. And they want to maybe make their daughter a poster child for how Christians should handle transgender in the church.
You know, I wish that that Child Protective Services would... that this is something that they would respond to, because a 6-year-old has...
It's way too young.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Every one of my kids, I have this conversation. You're going to go through a phase. One day you're going to feel more like a girl. One day you're going to feel more like a boy. One day you'll want to play with girls and have nothing to do with boys. One day it's all boys, no girls. That's normal. Mm-hmm. And one day Solomon said to me, Dad, I think that was the most important conversation you ever had with me. And I'm just telling you, I can't stand these stories. I don't like these stories. And this, your daughter must be a very wounded young woman. What happened to her that she would do this to a child? You can't do that.
Well, it doesn't make sense developmentally. And
oh,
it seems like all of the so-called experts now are ignoring developmental issues, right?
Right.
And that kids go through these.
I agree with that. I think the husband, her husband, is the one that's pressuring this much more. And so I am also surprised that my daughter is not, like, taking my granddaughter and running away. But
does she have the option? Does she have the option?
I
know that sounds dramatic.
It's like battered wife syndrome. I understand, but I think when you're in an unhealthy situation, sometimes you don't have the strength to do that. Mm-hmm. And because, so my main question is really, we are supposed to see them in a few days. And it will be the first time that I'm putting eyes on my granddaughter, who they've shaved her head, they dress in boy clothes, and they are saying the only way that we can spend time with them is if we agree to this transition.
And well,
so
you don't have to. Okay, let me give you some advice. Go be with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You never have to say the child's name.
Right.
You say, hey, come here. Or,
right. Sweetheart,
you,
honey.
You are just, you know, to have a grandchild like you, all sorts of, you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't have to talk about in front of the child this ridiculous thing. But here's what I would go equipped with. I would look at some good old Piaget developmental stuff. I mean, they need to understand that they are destroying the life of a child because you just have no idea what is going to happen. And you know, there are kids that, they're females. They're born, and all they want to do is shoot guns, bow and arrow stuff.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, well, no, hey. And then you see them 10 years later. And they're the most feminine.
Absolutely.
So you just can't predict. You can't predict.
I know girls in their 20s that are thanking their moms for not doing this to them
when they
went through their boy phase.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, Kay. Just like what Steve said, the most important thing about this visit is go and be present.
Yeah.
Don't try to fix anything.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't confront anything with them.
No.
I would just love. I would observe, but keep your observations to yourself because all you're going to do is create a big distance if you go in and, correct them. Unfortunately, this is happening over and over.
Yeah.
We see a lot of this. But as it concerns you and your grandchild, your role is to be that safe person. And if you, like you say all the time, eyeball to eyeball. You are loved. You are precious to me. I'm so glad to see you. That's the message. And, I think about when you said that they shaved her head, I was thinking about how many times when I've done visits in a hospital with children who are afflicted with cancer. You don't go in there and go, wow, look at you. You don't look normal. You don't do that. You just go in and you just say, hey, what was the best thing that happened today? Connect.
And then I wouldn't hesitate after your visit where you've been, connecting with this child, you haven't lectured anybody, haven't brought it up, never say the original name that they don't want you to say. Then I would have a conversation. I wouldn't write it because I wouldn't want it to be shown, but I would have a conversation with your daughter as sweetly and nicely as you could where you would say, honey, I think you could see that we did not interfere with anything that you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We never brought it up. We were supportive. We never called Bob, Sylvia, or whatever. But I want you to know that I've looked into this developmental stages of children, and what you're doing or what you're allowing your husband to do is wrong. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to stand up for this child, and you need to not let this happen because
At least there's, at this there, age. Like, no. Even if you can yeah. delay it, that right. gives you time.
Honey, why don't you just help your husband to see too early to do anything like this? And I don't think you'd ever regret that conversation. And maybe, since you've shown yourself to be cooperative, maybe she would hear it after that visit. I would hope so. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're here. Tough issues, very, very tough issues in this world. And one of the things that you will not see ever talked about in secular media are the people that transition. And then once they've made the transition, they realize that no one thing ever fixes everything, and they realize they still have many of the problems that they were dealing with, the struggles, and they thought, well, this is just going to take care of everything, and it doesn't. You don't hear about the regret and the depression that some folks go in, and I can only imagine when this child grows up and sees that her parents didn't protect her from doing something too soon, irrational. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the parents are taking the choice away mm-hmm. from her because mm-hmm. she's not in a place to make that rational choice. I hate to hear these stories. And I know that anybody that believes the same way those parents do, you just think I'm stupid.
Well, and it's,
but I'm not stupid.
Yeah,
I've been around the block a few times.
You know, what about, you know, at 5 years old, I mean, my daughter wanted to be a princess and changed her name and wanted them to call her Jasmine at school. And, you know, that actually wasn't allowed. It was discouraged.
But kids, I kind of saw your daughter as a princess.
Yeah. Kids want to be all kinds of things.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. And how about we talk with, let's talk with Justin from Los Angeles, KKLA. Hi, Justin. How are you?
Hello, good morning, good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Good.
What's happening with you today?
Well, less than about a month ago, our 7-year-old daughter was diagnosed with a very rare form of brain cancer.
Mm.
It's called DPIG. And according to the doctors, it is terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, do you guys have any advice or resources that could help us explain to our daughter what's happening and how to best encourage her as we walk through this season with her?
Mm.
Justin, we're so sorry.
Yeah. For all of you.
Tragic.
Do you guys have support, too?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, okay. We do.
Okay. This is so difficult on so many levels. There's no word that's going to say, or that we're going to say, that's going to calm this down. But I'm interested in how your daughter processes. Like, what is she saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of the way that you go. Is matter of fact, my 5-year-old granddaughter yesterday asked how Jesus died, not why did he die, but how did he die? And so, you know, it wasn't like we went through the whole list of, you know, things that, that occurred to him, we, you know, explained on a 5-year-old level. So as a 7-year-old, what does your daughter know? How do you usually have conversation with her? What is she asking, Justin?
She's really not asking too many questions. She did say that she misses being able to do the things that she used to do, run and ride horses and swim. That's about all that she's saying.
Yeah.
Justin?
Yes.
I would suggest that you Google and look up and see what other people say about how do you communicate a terminal illness to a child, and just get some different perspectives. But let me tell you what I would do if it was my child. And I actually did this with someone else's child. But But I would probably get a yardstick, and I would bring that into her bedroom, and I would say, honey, you see this yardstick? This yardstick isn't even close to representing eternity. I just have to add yardstick after yardstick after yardstick. Now, you see this little 1/8 of an inch mark right here? That's the time that we spend here on Earth. And your time is going to be a little bit shorter than our time. But we're all going to be in the same place in heaven, and we're going to experience all the yardstick after yardstick after yardstick together. But your time is more limited because of this thing we've been looking at and been treating, this brain tumor. Now, in between now and the time that you go to heaven a little before us, we're going to make it as comfortable and enjoyable and fun as we possibly can. And we're going to be here every minute through this time. We love you. We care about you. And that's probably how I would start. Then I'd be prepared to answer some questions. How does God let a little girl have a brain tumor? And then I'd be prepared to talk about Adam and Eve and sin and fallen world. And in a fallen world outside the garden, people get sick. And sometimes little girls get sick. But if we were still in the garden, you wouldn't have had this happen. But when you go on up to heaven, a little before us, it's not going to be that way up there. And that's what we're all looking forward to. I don't know if that is psychologically, emotionally, developmentally sound, but I got to tell you, that's probably how I would do it. I would help her to see that we're going to be all together for a very, very long time. And then I would read up on how do you talk about death to a child who might be afraid of it? How do you help them endure through some suffering? And what are the things that you can do with a terminal child that would add the most value to their life? We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Jill, you had a comment. Yeah,
just a couple things. Steve, I loved everything you said. Justin, I would also, you know, be starting with, again, what she knows, what she thinks, what does she think about the doctors and all that's happening. And here's the other thing about heaven. You know, for us, when we think of death, we are devastated. But, you know, we don't know what's on the other side. And I always think every time someone goes there, it's like a party, and they are like the lucky ones. And that we are left here in this world. I mean, look at this world now, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we are suffering, and there is so much pain here. And so she actually is, you know, by heaven standards, is one of the lucky ones. But we just don't have that perspective yet. Mm-hmm. And you know, she will be able to run and play and do all those things. And so, you know, that's kind of the other side of it, is to become sooner in life more heavenly minded. And then I think just in the children's hospitals and things, they usually do offer a lot of support. So,
and one more thing, Becky mentioned, you just and both of you did. You continue to pray for miraculous healing.
Yeah.
And then Randy Alcorn, I think, wrote one of the best books ever on heaven. Mm-hmm. And I would get that, and I wouldn't read it to her. It might be a little complicated. But you'll be able to tell her so much about heaven. You know, the fact that, you know, they're probably animals up there, and all these really interesting things that I think could be a great comfort to her.
And I just want to say one more thing. Justin, you and your wife, your family, you need support. You need people who are going to come around and hold you up, because your season of grief has already begun. Your daughter, on one hand, because of her age, the grace that God has for her to be able to go through this is so different. You and your wife are going to have really hard days ahead, which you've already had. I know that's not a surprise to you, but you're going to need real strong people around you who can carry you through. And that's the body of Christ. That's why, you know, I want to encourage you to seek out. And Jill mentioned the Children's Hospital. There's also Make-A-Wish Foundation, who can create some fun days at the end of her life. And we'll be praying for you. Everybody in the audience, we need to be praying for Justin's daughter.
Justin, any thought or other question you have there?
No, that was great. I wasn't sure if I should talk with her about that right now.
Well, I think you and your wife figure out the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she wouldn't be happy if you waited 3 or 4 months and she didn't know during that time. I think the sooner you find the right time, the better it's going to be. And so sorry for what you're going through. Really, really tough.
What's her name, Justin?
Sarah.
Okay, we'll be praying for Sarah.
I'm going to send you a copy of this little Bible story book, Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. One book of the year for young literature. I'll send that to you, and hope and pray that that could be meaningful to her. And glad that you called. And I'm just going to ask all of our folks that we pray for this darling little girl and the parents, that they'll be strong and that they'll meet the needs here that need to be met. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. Larry, what do you have for us today?
Well, Steve, I've got a testimony that really, I think, this last call to Justin was representative of. It's fairly brief. Lady says she's been listening to the program for more years than she can remember. What you all do on a daily basis is nothing short of amazing and truly a gift from God. Your words of wisdom have pulled me through many questionable moments in my life, and somehow the advice that you've given to other people over the years has spoken directly to many of the challenges I've faced. Definitely not a coincidence. I believe God's hand has been all over it. Thank you for being someone I can count on for sound biblical advice and for helping me realize there is hope and there is healing.
Amen.
And I just think that really speaks to that call with Justin. I mean, you gave some great words of wisdom, and if it's not hope for this world, it's hope eternally. There's nothing more important than that.
Yeah. Well, we're so grateful for the folks that help us be able to communicate this kind of thing.
Right. We want to continue doing what we do, and we need your help. We need your financial support. It might be a big gift. It might be a little gift. It might be Club New Life. However you can help us financially, it will mean that the radio keeps going, the workshops keep going, the resources keep coming. But folks, help us when you can, if you can, please.
Yeah, please do. And, you know, when you join Club New Life, we send you this library of books. It's just fantastic, all the books that are there, including, you know, Growth Has No Boundaries, Emotional Freedom Workbook. I tell you, I spent about 2 hours in the Emotional Freedom Workbook the other day. It's so good. Still published in 1997 and still out there doing a great work. And, you know, if there's any way that you could send us a gift of any amount, we'll send you 12 gifts. It's a little book called The 12 Gifts of Life Recovery. And these are things that when you go to work and you do the work, these things emerge. They are the gifts. Larry, why are you laughing?
Larry was breaking a sweat thinking you're giving away 12 gifts.
12 books. What are we sending? Oh, my goodness. 12 Gifts of Life Recovery. It's a generous gift to say thank you for all that you do.
We'll have to send Larry the emotional freedom workbook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Sorry about that, Larry.
Oh. All right, let's go to John. He's calling, I believe he's calling all the way from Frederick. Yeah, I think so. Okay, Fredericksburg, maybe. I don't know. John, how you doing, buddy? John, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah. What's going on with you today?
I'm in an area with weak signal.
Yes, you are. John, I can't hear you. I'll have to put you back on hold. Maybe you can find another area and we can get to you either later in this program or the next one that we're going to do right after this. Let's go to Bryant. He's calling from Charlotte. Hi, Bryant. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just listening to the parent previously who daughter was diagnosed with DIPG, and it really touched my heart. Just what do you tell your child who's terminal?
Yeah.
And that's a very, very difficult one that we had to face as well. And we lost our son to a very different brain cancer in 2016. But I wanted to reach out to him and offer some resources. But one of the things that we did, my son was a believer. He passed when he was 15. Mm-hmm. He had just saw his 15th birthday in August, and he passed mm-hmm. in October. And it was Randy Alcorn's book that really was just a breath of fresh air for us, mm-hmm. Called Heaven. And mm-hmm. that book really spoke volumes to us. It was just as best as Randy could interpret the scriptures in Revelation. It was just a beautiful description of what heaven was going to be like once we knew our son, his ending was near. And it was a great devotion for us. It painted an awesome picture just in terms of our hope and what we were looking forward to and being united with Christ and our new
well, Brian,
bodies.
I don't know if you heard, but we actually recommended that book to him. And so you're confirming and affirming that. And so I'm really glad that you called. And just to say
absolutely.
Thank you for that call and caring about him, I'll send you the 12 gifts of life recovery, and I think you're going to enjoy that. And thank you for calling. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you, and we're going to be in the studio another hour and 20 minutes right after this. So let's go to Deborah. Camp Hill listens on Facebook Live. Glad she does. Hi, how are you, Deborah?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on in your life today?
Wonderful. You're such a blessing.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I have a question. You're welcome. First, I wanted to say I was married for 18 years. I have two children, and I divorced my husband in 2000, and I left him for another person, mm-hmm. another man. So, I was contemplating divorce years before that because I was extremely unhappy because he was an alcoholic and an abusive one. Mm-hmm. And he's still an alcoholic. Well, anyway, so my question is, first let me say this. I didn't remarry because I was the one that left. And I'm a Christian, and I believe that when you leave, that for another, for an adulterous relationship, you're not entitled to get married again. So these people that are married three or four times, like I have a friend that's married three times, are they living in perpetual sin? Are they?
Hold on.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we are talking to Deborah. She left her husband, didn't remarry. She's concerned about other people that have left and did remarry. Becky, you have some thoughts on this. Let's hear it.
So, Deborah, what I think you're calling about is what to do with all these people that are remarrying. That's what it sounded like to me. Mm-hmm. Is that your concern?
Are they? Yeah, I mean, I stayed unmarried. You know, I had a marriage proposal after I left this second abusive person that I left my husband for, and I turned it down because I didn't feel that I was allowed to get married again.
Okay.
I had anxiety about that.
So here's the thing, though. Are you sexually active with this man that you're with now?
No. No, I don't. Right now, I was diagnosed last December with pancreatic cancer, and I'm holding on to life right now.
Wow.
I was a stage two, and I'm on chemo right now until the end of November. I'm not thinking about sex at all right now.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about getting, staying alive.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I would say to you, Deborah, I wouldn't be worried about those other people and what they're doing in their relationships.
Oh.
I think your goal is to ask God what he wants for you and your life and your relationships, especially in this time crunch that you're feeling right now. And, as you know, you've probably heard this in your cancer treatment, you really don't want to waste any time on negative thoughts or worrying about other people and what they should or shouldn't be doing. I mean, that really shouldn't be our goal anyway, but... if you are having regrets about divorcing, there's still some healing work that you need to do in order to move forward. And that could be everything from working with a counselor. It could be going to an Al-Anon group just to work through that recovery. And to get real clear about the state of your relationships currently, as opposed to always looking backwards.
Well, and a lot of times when we are thinking about what might happen to other people, it's an indirect way of wondering about ultimately what's going to happen to us or where we are at. But it seems like it's more palatable when it's kind of out there, other people. But I think the questions for you, and, I hear that, okay, you made some decisions that you knew weren't in line with Scripture, and then you have pulled back from that. It sounds like you are no longer with the guy that you left your husband for. And so I'm hearing some repentance in you in that you're trying to regain your Christian integrity at this point.
Right,
and
I am.
And I think when we make mistakes and we, knowingly do wrong, then we do suffer and we have to repent of that. And then we accept the Lord's forgiveness, as we were discussing earlier on this show. So that we can move on.
Well,
especially what you're going through with pancreatic cancer.
There's a lot of life reflection happening right now.
Good. And, I just...
I'm not out of the woods yet.
Yeah. Well, here's the good news, is that God is rich in mercy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And throughout Scripture, we see people forgiven of some pretty crummy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am leaning up against God's mercy, leaning my whole life up against God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it to be true. And I'm glad that it is. 1-800-229-3000, if you want to join us. I want to mention to you, I did yesterday, Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible. That's Saturday, December the 5th. It's an online intensive. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Daniel Amen, Steve Arterburn, and Sheila Walsh. We're going to be dealing with the priorities of life. And when you get in trouble in the priorities, that's your priority, is to deal in these areas. And I think it's going to be so powerful to have these heavy hitters all together in one place. You won't regret it.
Well, it's what it reminds me of is all these calls that we've had today where there are these questions about where is my life going? What's going to happen afterwards? And there's going to be some healing information. There's going to be some dealing information, because there's stuff that we have to deal with. And also, what does the Bible really say, as opposed to what a lot of us, kind of make our own version of how God speaks. And I think it's going to be a great day.
It is. And you can find out about it 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sign up early. I don't know how many people we can get into this thing, but it's going to be popular. We've got time for one last phone call. Peter, Long Beach, listens on the internet. Peter, I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your question. How could we help you today?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go through an evaluation to see if I'm autistic. I've been evaluated before by a psychologist 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to know if there's anything that's going to be confrontational. I feel like I need to admit if he asks, have you ever heard any voice in your life before?
And so you've heard voice? You did? What'd the voice say?
One voice of the Lord. He said, Paul. That was it, like a trumpet behind me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I would say this. You want to be totally honest. And do you think that, I mean, when he's saying it was one time, I don't think that skews some kind of evaluation like that. If you said, wait a minute, let me ask God if I can tell you, that can really cause a problem.
Well, and I'm wondering, I have a question, though. Peter, why are you being reevaluated?
Well, it's... I've had problems making decisions as far as what kind of career and such. So, but I know how God designed my mind, but I have physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm in a recovery place for veterans here in Long Beach.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So, well, and you know what? Yeah. It's good to continue to look.
I don't have the normal problems that these people have around here.
Well, nobody has normal. There is no there is no normal, Peter.
I mean... Yeah, okay. It's just that, for instance, I never had a normal income. I haven't had a normal life yet. So I think the Lord wants me to go above the normal life and help, you know, create jobs and such.
Well, that's great. You know, and I think talking to somebody and getting reevaluated is going to be a great way to start that.
And I would just invite you to call us back when you have the evaluation. I'd want to know what they said and what they came up with. And I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and I think that's going to be a great book for you. I sure hope so. Before we close out the program, I'll ask you again to support this ministry, if you possibly can, by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. $30 a month, you become part of the giving family in the club New Life. Boy, does that ever help us. We have a wonderful, happier, 12 Steps to Happier, where we're reasonably happy in this life and just pretty amazingly happy in the next. And that's going to be October the 3rd. Every Man's Battle is September the 12th. And I just cannot recommend more going to that workshop. I had a guy call me and he said he was in tears. 19 years, been addicted to pornography. My wife is leaving. And I said she's leaving because of the mistreatment that you gave her because of the pornography, and you've got to deal with this anger as well as the pornography. He said, have you been living at my house? It's just the same story everywhere. You could get that taken care of, and it would really change everything, absolutely change everything. That's September the 12th. Intimacy and Marriage, October the 24th. Usually you have to fly in, stay 3 days. This is online, and the results are just incredible. And we have really been blessed in helping some impossible marriages become amazing. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, so 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us on the next program. Thank you, Dr. Jill, and thank you, Becky. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, support, and pray for this ministry. 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.